In 1970, Gil Scott-Heron penned the poem and song, The Revolution Will Not Be Televised. 5 years ago, Malcolm Gladwell, author of The Tipping Point, opined that the revolution will not be tweeted. Well, now that notion is being challenged by a new study analysis of tens of millions of tweets. Joining me to discuss the salience of slacktivism in social movements is study co-author Sandra Gonzalez-Bayon, professor at the Annenberg School for Communication at the University of Pennsylvania. Professor, thanks for joining us on NewsWorks Tonight.
Thanks for inviting me.
The term slacktivist, well, one part slacker, and to me that implies either apathetic or certainly apolitical. How do you meld that with an activist and get a slacktivist?
Well, I think that was the intention, that contradiction, inherent contradiction, was the intention of the commentators that coined the term. What they wanted to highlight is that when you are retweeting a message or when you like a video or a photo, you're not really engaging in any political cause. You're essentially sort of giving a projection, an image of yourself. You want to make others believe that you are involved.
It's true to the extent that you're not putting your life on the line. We know the images from either Tiananmen Square or in Cairo. So to that extent, I suppose it's true.
It is true, right? So the idea here is that those who thought that slacktivism was a lesser form of political engagement wanted to emphasize the contrast with all the forms of political participation. And social media is encouraging that sort of lightweight engagement, but it's also maximizing exposure to information that might lead to recruitment to political causes. And I think that's what the commentators who started talking about slacktivism missed.
So tell us about the nature of the study.
So what we did in this study was to look at millions of tweets that were related to the protests that took place in Turkey in May of 2013. We also looked at communication around the Occupy campaign and the Spanish equivalent, the Indignados. And essentially what we were interested in was the information dynamics that come out of during those protest events. We separated out using geolocated tweets the users that were on the streets where the actions were taking place. In the case of the Turkish protest, that was Gezi Park. And we essentially located them in the network of information exchange. Those users that were most active formed the core of the network. And what we call the critical periphery are the vast amount of users that retweeted some of those messages that were coming from the core, but who, on an individual basis, whose engagement didn't go beyond that retweeting.
Was it critical to have a minimal number, though, at the core to then disseminate out?
Yeah, so what happened in the Turkish protest is that during the first hours of the events, as the protests started being violent, mainstream media weren't covering those events. And so, especially in the context of the Turkish protest, social media played an instrumental role in allowing the news of what was happening to go beyond the borders, to go international. And so, yes, the participants that were at the core, those who were risking their lives, we could say, by taking action on the streets, they were documenting what was happening when no one else was. And what the users, the lightweight engaged users that we call the critical periphery, what they did was to amplify those messages, to give them international resonance, to allow that information to come out of the epicenter of the protests. But of course, you need those highly motivated users in the context of a protest to allow sort of political action to grow.
The study also looked at some non-protest events. Was that to set up a contrast in how this kind of information is disseminated?
Yes, because the obvious question that we had is, well, maybe these co-periphery dynamics are typical of Twitter communication. And so we chose two seemingly random events. So on the one hand, the discussions about the Oscar ceremony, and on the other, discussions about the minimum wage, which is about politics, but not about contentious politics, not about protests. And we looked at the structure, signature of communication around those issues. And we found that these synergies between a core of highly committed participants and the larger periphery of low commitment participants didn't take place, didn't happen. So you don't have a minority generating most of the information that will then be echoed at the periphery of the network.
I'm wondering if, as time goes on, if somebody has a tendency to get involved in movements or social situations like this, he or she might not need to feel as motivated to get into the center of it, to put one's own life or skin in the game.
Yes, and this is one of the main criticisms that those who talk about slacktivism in a pejorative way, it's a pejorative term, this is one of the main criticisms, that it substitutes more genuine and meaningful ways of political engagement. But of course, it's not only you cannot make a protest to grow or a social movement to grow if you don't raise awareness about a cause. So the way I think about it is that being exposed to information is the first stepping stone in the process that might lead to higher levels of political engagement. But exposure to information is just one first step. And this is what social media are allowing social movements to maximize. Once upon a time, social movements relied on mass media for their message to be heard. And now that has been democratized by the ubiquitousness of online networks and digital technologies.
And whether one likes it or not, there will never not be slacktivists again.
I would like to think that our study will change the perception we have of slacktivists, but I would also like us to start using other terms.
Here's your chance.
Well, I think political engagement is not a binary thing, yes or no, deep or shallow. I think it's a gradient, and so there's always a start. And if by retweeting a message you start getting involved in or getting more interested in a political cause, and that will lead into a bigger sense of political efficacy that will ultimately lead to bigger steps in terms of political action, then I think it's a good thing to have.
Thanks so much for joining us on NewsWorks Tonight.
Thank you.
Sandra Gonzalez-Bayon, professor at the Annenberg School for Communication at the University of Pennsylvania.